This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Now the Celtics ran away with this one. Welcome back, Kristaps Porzingis, 32-point victory.
30 played well. Just to be able to get back to some of our defensive versatility. Obviously a little bit of rim protection, a little bit more physicality on the ball because it was back there, and so I thought he brought that offensively, just really helped our spacing. So it's good to get him back.
Afternoons with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Hello, hey, how are you? Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand here, Andy Hart there. You at 617-779-7937. Nice to have you with us today on a gross, rainy Tuesday afternoon. A couple of days away from Thanksgiving. Happy early Thanksgiving, everybody. I'm excited for 2 days off. Free, really. That's really what it's about here.
I'm just excited.
You excited to eat?
Eat, football,
drink. Excited for the football.
Christmas music once Thanksgiving passes. Eggnogs once Thanksgiving passes.
Yeah, but eggnog's only good for like a second.
What do you mean?
I like eggnog right when I, like, we were at the, we were down in Plymouth this past weekend.
Bragg.
You know, they do, Bragg, of course. They do the parade down there. And they do it every year. Channel 5 was down there. It was this whole big thing. It got rained out, but they still did it.
Oh, yeah. I saw your son stomping in puddles.
Oh, yeah. He was having a blast. The rest of us were just in the beer tent the entire time, but it was nice.
I feel like that was a lesson from him about life.
Kind of.
When it rains, still have fun.
Yeah, basically, I would say. But while we were walking around, they had all these booths out, and Hood had their eggnog booth, and they had little shots of the eggnog.
Ooh.
And first of all, that's just about as much eggnog as I need for, you know, any given day. Like, a whole big glass of eggnog, I find intimidating. I just like a sip of eggnog. Mm. A sip of eggnog is just enough. And then the next day, I'm like, I'm good with the eggnog. You know, like, I just think, like, it's very brief. It's like pumpkin spice, you know? You only want it for a couple of weeks. And I'm not even a pumpkin spice guy.
Speak for yourself.
I don't think I'm wrong here. Eggnog, there's a reason they only sell it for 1 month out of the year.
Oh, no. They've been selling it for like 3 months already.
Yeah,
like all the other holiday
stuff.
Yeah,
when do they actually sell it? Whether people actually buy it.
I bought some.
I held off.
I did too.
Andy, I thought of you yesterday. I was doing grocery shopping last night after work. I almost bought the eggnog, and I said, no, I'm going to wait till after Thanksgiving.
You got to have it ready to go, maybe on Thanksgiving. Mm. I think that's the gray day where you're allowed to. And we do need to, Stiz, introduce Mr. Poopy Pants, Negativity Wet Blanket over here to Maple Whiskey Eggnogs, which
I had some of that. It was good.
And if you like those, you'll be like Stiz and I, which means between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you'll have two a night on most nights.
A booze bag.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, you know, who am I to turn something like that down? I just think, in general,
it's dessert and your drink all in one.
It is a very seasonal beverage, right? I mean, deny that? I mean, come on. And there's a reason for that. That's all.
Well, yeah, when it's warm, I couldn't possibly drink it.
Right.
I couldn't see myself sitting out on the deck when it's 80 in the summer by the fire pit or something with an eggnog. That'd be weird.
Right.
But between this week and you push past a little bit, you go like that first week of January 10th, somewhere in there. About a month and a half, you can get the enjoyment out of the eggnog.
All right. Well, I tell you what, I had my little shot down at the at the parade, and it was delicious. So, I mean, it's not like I don't like eggnog. I just feel like it's very fleeting. My desire, my want for it, I get satisfied by just a little bit. You know, like I don't need very much.
That's what she said.
Lucky her. But yeah, that's sort of where it is for me. Anyways, I want to get to the Celtics. We have a lot to get to today. We're going to talk with Ross Tucker at 2:30. Jim Montgomery winning in his St. Louis Blues debut. We will have contenders and pretenders in the NFL a little bit later on. Some Bill Belichick rumors to get to as well. But first, we have a very exciting announcement to make here on WEEI Afternoons. I host one, and you host two. We're very proud to announce that we have added host three to the mix. Dan Ball is our new producer / anchor back there, headlines man. And he comes to us. You were working in Albany before coming over here. You are a Connecticut native. We learned last week when we had our little pizza party. And you join us now. This is your debut here on WEEI. If you're an eagle eye and you were watching on Twitch these last couple of days, you may have seen him lurking around there in the background.
Who's that?
Was an announcement made on Twitter about this and on the Odyssey website, so you shouldn't be too surprised to see him. Anyway, Dan Ball, welcome to the show. Welcome to WEEI Afternoons. And do you prefer Dan or host three?
Oh, boy. Honestly, whatever you guys prefer. I'm just hoping that I'll go with whatever you want. Dan's fine, but thanks for the warm welcome. It's great to be here, boys. And you talk about the announcement. Super warm welcome. No comments about my appearance or anything weird like that. So I kept my face hidden from the stream on purpose these last couple of days. I didn't need to double down on any of that.
One question about that.
Yeah.
Couldn't find a picture you were smiling in, like you couldn't smile in the picture. Like why do you look so mean? You look like a mean guy in that picture.
I don't know. I'm trying to set a tone, I guess. Like a good fourth line grinder. I don't know. The long story is I'm just lazy and never got a headshot done for 6 years. That was a college picture.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was pure laziness and nothing else, and I learned a very valuable lesson last week about that.
Well, all right. I mean, listen, it's not like any of us have great pictures of ourselves floating around out there. We're all in radio for a reason. Anyway, Dan, welcome. You're going to be hearing his voice at the quarter hours after all the first segments doing headlines as well as other things. And also, you're going to be working on weekends here too as well, right?
Absolutely. I'll be with John Lyons on Friday morning, Greg Hill Light on Friday morning after Thanksgiving, but then some weekend stuff as well, so I'm pumped up.
All right. FYI, just you might want to stay out of the Twitch chat for a minute.
There's really?
Some shots already coming there, although some support. You know, poor bastard on one side, but then some other, you know, and you did take some pretty good shots when the photo went out.
Hey.
But if you can take that, you'll be fine. My only question,
yeah.
What was the one question I asked you in the meeting? Are you sensitive? If you're not sensitive, you can handle those shots.
Yeah.
You can handle these shots on Twitch. You can handle the shots that I know I'll be lobbing. I'm sure Arcan will be lobbing when he gets angry. And
yeah, we're busting balls,
out.
Right, Andy?
Busting balls.
Yeah.
Is he a ball washer or a ball buster? We'll find out.
All right. I like that. And you get to sit back there with Stiz. Lucky fella.
Oh, yeah. Man.
It's an honor.
It's a privilege.
Very good. Okay. Well, now that that's out of the way, you'll be hearing Dan all throughout the show. He is the new voice on the show, and we're very pleased and happy for him to be joining us. All right, with that out of the way, the Boston Celtics got to be very pleased themselves after just raining three-pointers on the L.A. Clippers last night, a total beatdown, and Kristaps Porzingis is back in our lives. I'm surprised to see him back so fast, but what an impact he made right away. Rim protection, which it's not like you really noticed it wasn't there because Horford's been playing well when he plays. it's a whole different thing. Porzingis just adds such a different element to the defense. Lobs and alley-oops. You saw three different guys throwing them lobs there. Him and Jaylen Brown picked up right where they left off last season. And it's noticeable. I don't think he was the only reason why they beat L.A. so badly last night. 51 points in the second quarter was probably a bigger indicator that this was going to be one of those type of games. But it is very, very nice to have Porzingis back on the team, to have him back in our lives. And by the way, if you haven't noticed, the Celtics are breaking the brains of these opposing broadcasters, which we'll get to that, because it's now to the point where they're getting very frustrated, and I recognize that frustration. I recognize it very clearly, because I was a young man during the 90s when the Red Sox and the Yankees were, I don't want to say rivals, because they weren't really rivals. It was just the Yankees beating the crap out of the Red Sox every single year, spending way more money, and you just kind of looked at it and said, you know what, this isn't fair. And we're almost to that point now with the Celtics. Opposing teams, opposing fan bases, opposing broadcast teams are looking at the Celtics and saying, this isn't fair. This is ridiculous. Like, how can they have all these guys? How can they spend all this money? How can they do all this? And the answer is they can't. That's why they have to sell the team. But either way, you have a moment in time right now with this Celtics team, which, whether it leads to a championship this year or not, if it doesn't, I think that's going to be a massive disappointment. But you're looking at a team that is the envy of the league. And in many ways, I think that's not something that is going to go away anytime soon. Even if you lose one or two of these guys, you know, even if Porzingis or White or Holiday, I'm thinking that you keep Brown and Tatum and continue to build around them as, you know, new owners come in and they want to shave off money or something like that. I don't know, but it does seem to me like they've got something pretty special here, and not only do we recognize it, the rest of the league recognizes it, and they're not happy.
Yeah, I'm going to be the Homer simp and continue that little character I've had here and just enjoy this. At some point, does it come to a head, and, you know, the Keith played that clip of the caller, oh, we got to trade Porzingis. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing here? Like, he just came back. Why are you thinking about aprons and any money? Just enjoy the team that takes the floor with you. Right from the start, he came with his, I think they just refer to it as like a WWE entrance last night. He comes out later. They put him on the board. It's kind of like the old Goldberg thing where the camera follows him out of the locker room and right down the runway and that whole thing. And I'm going to be honest, even though we call him the unicorn, and I know he's a unicorn, you still kind of forget what a freak he is.
I know.
There were a couple plays last night, like where he took a pass, he was out on the perimeter, takes a pass, does like a ball fake, goes by somebody, goes to pat, and you're just like, this guy is ridiculous. And, you know, it's funny because I look at the box score, and this is why I hate stats. You know who had the worst plus minus last night for any Boston Celtic?
No.
Kristaps Porzingis.
Did he?
Yes, and we're like, it's great to have him back. He had such a layer to this team, makes such a difference.
He had a negative?
No. He had all positive. He had a plus three. Right. I gotcha. We need to tell the audience what you told me.
What?
You're on cold medicine. Something's going on. Your brain is not in gear. It's not connecting to the mouth and the fingers. We've gotten false starts, emails of rundowns. You're having trouble speaking. Pluses and minuses are a problem right now.
Well, so, I was asking. You said he was the worst. I thought you meant he was in minus.
They were all the
plus.
Which was
surprising to me because they won by 32 points.
Yeah, they all kicked ass, but he had the lowest plus minus at plus three. And that's why I don't care about stats, and stats are for losers. He is a great player that changes this team dramatically, even if it's just for me, because I've kind of soured on Kata just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
he
not
had a good game.
He actually did.
Yeah.
But I think you can now pick your spots even more with him. You with Horford missing a game in back-to-backs, or however you wanted that little big man rotation. It's just options and opportunities to go big, to go small, to go athletic, to shoot threes. Last night, obviously, every night they're going to shoot their threes and win by hitting their threes. And I also think my phrase that I always love to use, the willing victim, was the Clippers last night. They came out,
they kind of threw
a couple punches, and they were like, yeah, this probably isn't our night. I'm a little tired. You guys want to just pack it in and watch them beat us? Okay. They were very much ready to give you.
They really were. Zubac, I thought, in the first half was a problem. And then suddenly he just wasn't. And it's just, okay, well, I guess that was that. James Harden did his normal James Harden thing where he almost has a triple-double, but he's really not very good. And the rest of that team, I mean, Chris Dunn, I forgot Chris Dunn was still in the league. No disrespect to our listeners down in Providence there or anything, but like Derek Jones, Amir Coffee, Chris Dunn, that's your starters. Like, that is a rough-looking roster. And the Clippers have had, I think, a really tough run of bad luck, starting with Kawhi Leonard and everything else, bringing in James Harden, Paul George leaving, and not really doing much to address the fact that your roster is kind of a mess. I mean, that's not a good Clippers team. But in fairness, they had just won five in a row.
Yep.
They were one of the hottest teams in the league, and the Celtics put them over their knee and spanked them basically the entire game. So there you go. Celtics have Porzingis back, and he looks like he hasn't missed a beat. And to anyone who was worried about him coming back too soon, I still don't think that's a crazy thing to worry about. It is Kristaps Porzingis. I mean, come on. We're not going to pretend like he's somebody other than who he is. But as of right now, I feel like this is – he's already had plenty of time off, right? They're 18 games into the season.
Yep.
He's been rehabbing this entire time, and I think that they're going to continue to, and will have the cushion to, sort of ease him in and out of the lineup as they need to, and just hopefully it won't come down to some sort of irritation. When he gets injured, like when he was on the Knicks and even on the Mavericks, his injuries were like big injuries.
Oh, yeah, he tore his ACL once.
Yeah, you know, like something with the kneecap or like a bone in his leg. He's had...
Well, look at him.
He's had some bad injuries, and, you know, the older these type of guys get, the more prone they are, I think, to re-injuring things. So, you know, this isn't anything... I'm going into this with my eyes wide open, right? But we already saw them go 15-2 or 14-3, whatever it is, without him.
Right.
So, you know, he kind of feels like a pinky ring at this point. He's like a luxury to have that you don't really need. You know, you're just sort of showing off now with your Porzingis pinky ring. That's what it seems like.
And, you know, he talked about, I think it was Chris Forsberg did the interview pregame. Yes. I don't know if you watched that, sitting in like a theater that they've been doing.
I did see that, yeah.
He was talking about, you know, just wanting to play and wanting to get out there. Do I have fears about him getting hurt? Absolutely. I don't know how you couldn't. I don't think it's necessarily going to be tied into he came back too soon or they rushed anything. I just think, you know, you break it, you buy it. He's that kind of guy. He's in one of those fragile. It's actually an award. That's who he is at this point in his career. But I also think he makes this team that much more unbeatable. And I also continue to add him to the... So we've talked a little bit about Derek White and Jason Tatum and their little buddy cop comedy press conferences things. Well, Porzingis is part of that. Porzingis changed, in my opinion, the feel of this team and the entertainment value of this. Everybody loved him from start to finish last year. The fans loved him. Players loved him. And I think that's a good layer for them to have because there's a pressure on them. There's an expectation, and there's a mood that I think he lightens, especially when he's obviously playing and playing well and adding to the mix of players. And I do. I could understand what you're talking about if I were in Cleveland. They just beat us, and they just got him back? Maybe we're not as good as we think we are kind of thing. And that's probably how all teams look at it. They are the projected champions for a reason because they're that damn good, and they have shown it in a million ways already.
Mm-hmm.
Derek White's been great. Derek White is off to a great start this year.
Yeah.
Now I'm actually buying, last year they wanted him to be an all-star. This year I'm buying he might be an all-star.
Yeah.
He's off to that good of a start this year.
I don't know if he has the numbers to be an all-star as a guard. You know,
well,
like
he was second in the league in plus-minus, overall.
But now, there's a lot of guards who are the primary focus of their offense. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be a hard thing to crack into, but you never know. It's certainly possible. He made the Olympic team. You know, like, he could make the all-star team, I think.
So he's fifth right now.
Okay.
In plus-minus. You know who leads the NBA?
In plus-minus?
Yeah.
I don't know.
His teammate, Jason Tatum.
Okay.
So they have two of the top five plus-minus guys in the NBA right now.
Well, I guess stats aren't for losers after all.
No, they're for winners in this case.
In this case, yes. When they suit your argument, of course they are.
Of course. That's how I work.
Yes.
Thank you.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. We have room for you here on the phone lines. The Boston Celtics have Porzingis back. It is breaking the brains of the NBA. The NBA is in trouble. The NBA knows that they're in trouble. There's a lot of teams that are already off to bad starts that are looking at this thinking, all right, you know, maybe time to pack it in. And here come the Celtics sneaking up on the Cleveland Cavaliers now, who still haven't lost a game other than that one. They've started back up. They won two since losing to the Celtics and are now 17-1. So that team's for real. They're not going anywhere. If you thought losing to the Celtics was going to send them into like a tailspin, not so fast. Cleveland's still good, but the Celtics with Porzingis seem almost like a cheat code. Oh, just unfair. Unfairly good. And I think that, you know, if you're of a certain age, you can remember. And that this is how people looked at the Patriots for many, many years, too. One thing that people keep talking about, and this was in the... I didn't hear this, but I saw people tweeting about it all last night, is that the Clippers broadcasters were like, don't worry, everybody. Once they get into that second tax apron, you know this is all going to be over. Porzingis is going to be gone. They're going to have to cut guys. They're going to have to trade people. They're going to have to do this, this, and this. And that may be true. But I'm starting to get the idea here that you can find, and I trust Brad Stevens to do this. Jrue Holiday's great. Derek White's great. Al Horford and bringing him back. That was the first thing Brad Stevens did when he got here. Brad Stevens has a good nose for this type of stuff. And he, I think, is someone that you should be able to trust, even if it means being creative with money. Because I think whoever buys the team is going to be like, all right, enough with the $500 million. Like, come on, you know, even if it's someone, even if it's Bezos or somebody, they're going to be like, come on, guys. Like, this is a little much. Like, we're way, way outspending the rest of the league.
Right.
And I think that Brad Stevens can manage that. I don't think that he needed to do all this in order to have a championship caliber team. He did, and it worked. Some of them were trades. I mean, just to trade for Porzingis and to be able to bring him in here, you know, some of them were signings, some of them were whatever. But it's just he's proven in a very short time that he knows, number one, how to get the most out of Brown and Tatum and how to surround them with guys who complement what they do.
Yep.
And I trust him wholeheartedly. I think that he's got the best, even more than Mazzulla, I think he's got the best pedigree at his job of anybody around the city right now.
In a weird way, I agree with you, because I was a little dubious of him moving to the front office. He probably was. Hell, he probably had some doubts. And you know what I think he's turned into? You know that meme of him with those, like, really, like, arrogant eyes, are like, wait till they get a hold of me. Like, he's you'll know it when
I'll know
it
if I see it, but yeah, sure.
I think he's played himself into that.
Yeah.
I think he's the smartest man in his room now. Like, I think he realizes, I'm really good at this, and I really make good decisions, and I've put together a ridiculous roster, and I've made shrewd decisions, and I can win the... Everybody gave Danny Ainge that credit.
Mm-hmm.
He'd win the deal, he was the deal maker, and all those... And I think Brad has been better at it.
Brad's been unbelievable.
Like, Danny Ainge started it off with the draft picks,
yeah,
because he got you Brown and Tatum.
Yep.
And they will forever be the foundation. Even when these lame-o homer broadcasters are like, do they think Brown and Tatum aren't going to be good for the next X number of years? Like, that's the problem with that whole theory,
mm-hmm,
is the foundation will stay the same and they just have to move pieces. Or do they notice that, I don't know, Peyton Pritchard's pretty good. And Peyton Pritchard might just have an elevated role at some point,
yep,
and stick around, right? And he's a guy that's making a lot less money. Now, if he keeps this up, he might make more money at some point along the way. But yes, 100% Brad Stevens, he's the anti-Elliot Wolf. I have full faith.
He's the anti-every GM in the city right now.
Right.
I mean, he's...
Breslow's done this
Elliot
spring.
Elliot Wolf, Breslow, and Don Sweeney combined, I'm not sure equal what Brad Stevens has been able to do in 3 years.
Well,
and that, to me, is pretty remarkable. Like, that's, maybe it's not three, it's like 4 or 5 years. But still, I mean, that is not a long time to have established yourself as the main guy in the city. And we all talk
with
about
no
owners,
experience.
No experience at all. Coming from being a head coach, a college head coach, pro head coach, and then it seemed like he got fired because he wasn't relating to Kyrie and that team,
right,
at the time. He goes into the front office and immediately makes a big impact. And listen, I mean, you can say that, well, without Wick Grosbeck's money, this wouldn't have been the same thing. Maybe you're right on some level. He traded for Derek White. He traded Kemba Walker to bring Al Horford back. Like,
right,
he traded for Porzingis. Like, all of these things, you look at him and say, well,
traded for all of them.
He was able to make this happen. Now, in order to keep them all, you had to pay him and extend them. And to do that, you had to go into these other aprons. But who brought that roster together? Who got all these guys together? He did. He drafted Peyton Pritchard.
Absolutely.
You know, like, this is, I think that if you're worried about what's going to happen here when the new owner comes in, that means you don't have a lot of faith in Brad Stevens. And I trust this guy completely.
I have a ton of faith in him. And the funny thing is, I think he has the hardest job, and I have faith in him to do it. Whereas a guy like Elliot Wolf, to me, kind of has the easiest job.
Mm.
You're going to have a top three pick and $150
right,
million. Dollars. Like, I feel like I could kind of be aggressive and do it, and I don't have faith for him to do it right because it's the man and the track record, and he's put together a nice track record. And again, he has a subtle newfound arrogance to him that I really like.
Yeah.
I think he is very confident in his own abilities. And he just, almost, like, even last night, he's sitting there between Jrue Carter and Scal, and it's almost like, I made this.
Yeah.
Are you not entertained?
It was funny. They were up, like, they were scoring 51 points. The guy makes a layup. He's like, too many layups.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
the coach is still in there.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
The coach is still in there behind the GM. There's still those, like, college coach annoyances,
yep,
where every basket matters and defense is effort and all those things. But there's also the guy that's kind of sitting on his throne. you know, shining his ring under the spotlight and saying, "Hey, which finger should I put the next ring on? Should it be this one or should I move it to the other hand? How are we going to handle this?" There, I love the arrogance of him. They have, I would hate Brad Stevens and Joe Mazzulla if I was on another team, because I think they're very arrogant and they're very uniquely arrogant. He's the guy that everybody aw shucks made fun of, and now he's like the
coolest, yeah.
But now he's the coolest guy in the room.
Right.
Like he's cooler than, say, Pat Riley, even though Pat Riley's the cool guy with like the slick back hair and the suit. Brad is still the dork, but the dork built the best team. The dork is doing the job. And then Joe Mazzulla would just annoy me if I was a fan of another team. There's no doubt.
Joe Mazzulla annoyed us before he won a championship. So
right, now I like him.
Maybe it has something to do with that. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with our Celtics conversation later on in the show. When we return, we'll be joined by Odyssey Sports insider Ross Tucker. Week 12 in the books here in the NFL. The Patriots with a tough loss and doing some soul searching here as they go into this next game against the Colts this weekend. But first, here is the very, very first trending headlines right now from Dan Ball. Don't screw it up.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, there you go. Zero pressure. It's time to get you caught up on what's trending now on WEEI, sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Two nights and two wins for the Boston Celtics as they cruise to a 126-94 win against the Clippers last night at TD Garden. All eyes were on Kristaps Porzingis, who in his return from injury scored 16 points on 6 of 12 shooting. And after the game, Porzingis was a man of few words when speaking to the media.
I was itching to get back out there with this team after winning a championship, you know, and it was a good beginning. Good first game back.
With a victory, the Celtics have won 6 in a row and 8 of their last 9. Meanwhile, after 2 nights off, the Bruins are back in action tonight as they take on Jake DeBrusk and the Vancouver Canucks tonight at TD Garden. Puck drop is set for 7 p.m. and Jeremy Swayman will start in net for the Bees. Boston plays 4 of their next 5 games at home beginning tonight. The Patriots, meanwhile, return to the practice field today in preparation of their game on Sunday against the Colts at Gillette Stadium. Head coach Jerod Mayo spoke to the media earlier today and was very vague about Jabril Prepper's status heading into the weekend after he was removed from the commissioner's list.
He's off the list. I anticipate him being able to practice. At some point in time, we'll get to that bridge when we get there.
Bit of word salad from the Pats head coach. And finally, earlier today, MLB Network's John Morosi reported that the Red Sox were one of 5 teams to submit an offer to star outfielder Juan Soto, with the others being the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, and the Blue Jays. Folks, in celebration of Awaken 180's 10-year anniversary, all consultations booked now through December 15th will be free. Reserve yours today at Awaken 180.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Weightloss.com. I'm Dan Ball. More WEEI Afternoons with Arkan and Hart coming up after this.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Afternoons with Arkan and Hart on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arkan, Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us here today. And joining us right now on the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise Mayo Game Day. Be delicious. Ross Tucker, what's up? How we doing today? How about I pot you up there? That would work. Hey, Ross, how are we doing?
What's up, fellas? I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing just fine, despite a ugly loss from the Patriots. I'm not sure how much of it you got to see, Ross, but it seemed to many people watching as though the Patriots, after a promising couple of weeks, took a massive step backwards on Sunday. Is that how you feel about that performance that they put out there, and what other impressions did you have on that Dolphins matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think we need to debate about that, right? I think Gerard Mayo even said that after the game. That was pretty clear. You know, watching it, I thought it was really disappointing from a coaching standpoint. You know, I mean, you're getting on the running, but you know, the quick screen. They do that like 10 times a game, and it was totally wide open, and it was like, the Patriots didn't have a good plan for that. Then on the other Achan touchdown, they just dropped the coverage totally. I mean, nobody even covered him. So it did not look like pro football, right? I mean, in recent weeks, they had been very competitive. They had been playing well, even if they were sort of outmanned. You know, they looked like a pro football team and did the things that you need to do. But when you're dropping coverages, when you're letting guys come free, you know, Chop Robinson, the rookie out of Penn State, is playing pretty well, and yet they're either not blocking him or they're not helping whoever's trying to block him. It was just very disappointing, I would say, evaluation overall. And I would say in particular of the coaching staff, it did not appear to be a team that was really prepared to play the Dolphins in that game.
So, Ross, there were multiple reports out of the post-game Patriots locker room that players were telling jokes and smiling and not seemingly taking it all that seriously. Now, none of us was there, so we don't know exactly what happened, but does that kind of stuff matter, how you handle losing? Does that matter? Is that symbolic of something within a locker room?
I don't think so. I don't really care, to be honest with you. You know, it's like I went on in Cleveland last week, and they want their head coach fired in Cleveland, the two-time coach of the year in the last 4 years, Stefanski, because they have a terrible culture. And I always think that's so funny. Like, wait a minute, you're a guy that hosts an afternoon drive. Like, how do you know about the team's culture? You know, like, I feel like sometimes we use these buzzwords or we try to talk about things. Like, I don't know what the Browns' culture is. I don't know. They went out on a Thursday night and they won a snow game, played their you-know-what's off against the Steelers, like 8-win, 8-2 Steelers. That seemed like a pretty good culture to me. As it relates to the Patriots, you know, and you guys know this, but by the time you get to the airport after the game, a lot of times you can't tell if an NFL team won or lost. Mm. You know, just based on the demeanor of the guys. Would I like it if they were telling jokes in front of the media and messing around in front of the media after the game? No, I wouldn't like that, because that reeks more of just a lack of awareness. You know, it'd be like your Madden video game awareness rating. Like, even if you've already made, you know, they got blown out, you know, they're over it, they moved on, okay. But have the awareness to not be cracking jokes or laughing in the locker room with the media there would probably be my reaction to that, as opposed to anything else.
Well, you got to – I mean, if you're on a team that's not good, you have to cope with losing. You know, like the guys who were on the Lions for 5 years when they couldn't buy a win, they had to – even if they hate losing, have to eventually, just to protect themselves and protect their brand, you know, they have to cope with that in some way. And I think here in New England we were used to 20 years of winning. So now that we've had 4 or 5 years, fans and media people are all sort of like, well, wait a minute. We don't like losing. Losing's no good. And these players who are just, you know, starting their careers – don't know the Patriots like we knew them for 20 years. Someone like Jalen Polk or these young players, the Patriots are just kind of another bad team, right?
Well, yes. And I think what's interesting, I can't remember the name of the movie, but the movie, is it Jimmy Fallon? That's the movie about the Red Sox, how they never
Fever
win
pitch.
The World Series. And
yeah.
Then Fever Pitch, right?
Yes.
And remember when, like, Veritek and the guys go out to dinner after they're down like 0-3 or whatever, and they're smiling and they're enjoying dinner. And am I right? Is it Jimmy Fallon or somebody, whoever it is?
Yeah.
They're like, they're furious that these guys are not more upset that they lost the game. And then the guy finally realizes, like, you know what? If they're not, like, why am I doing this to myself? You know, it's funny because I always thought when I was growing up, like, how could these guys be like that after a loss? I got to tell you guys, like, college football and certainly in the NFL, I was able to move on, like, right away. Because the reality is you put everything you have. It's your full-time job. You put everything into it. And then once it's over, like, it's over. There's nothing else you can do about it. And actually, like, sitting there and being upset or, you know, agonize, it's not helpful, right? Like, if anything, you need to clear your mind and or start to worry about the next game. And I think sometimes that's hard for fans because for fans, you know, they'll agonize Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday over a loss. As a player, if you do that, all you're really doing is hurting your chance to win the next game. Like, you got to move on. And so I think fans would be a little bit surprised how quickly professional athletes get over the outcome of whatever just happened in that game.
Ross, how can a professional offensive lineman, we'll use a name here like Vidarian Lowe, false start time after time after time? Like, what is that? How do you fix it? And other than benching him, how do you deal with that as a coach?
Yeah, I don't think you do fix it. I think you do bench him. Honestly, I mean, there's nothing. It's not like the coaches are saying before the game, hey, Vidarian, it's okay if you get three or four false starts. You know what I mean? Like, they're not saying that. They're not coaching that. None of the other guys are doing it. They're very clear. We can't do it. Guys, you got to stay focused. Guys, we can't have these pre-snap penalties. I mean, they can say it until they're blue in the face. But certain guys, they lack the discipline to be able to pull it off. And I'm always of the believer, like, when people say, what can a coach do and whatever – I really think it's personnel, right? Like, I mean, if Skarnecki was the O-line coach, that guy would not be playing. You know, I don't care who else they have. Right. He wouldn't stand for that because he would just say, nobody's worth that many. None of you, and he would use a colorful word, are worth 15 yards, you know, or whatever he would say. And he'd get somebody else ready to play, and that guy would be out there. I don't think you really can fix it. I think if a guy – it's kind of like there's a strong tendency for guys that get hurt a lot to get hurt a lot. It's like an old joke, right? But, like, it's true. Like, guys that get hurt a lot get hurt a lot. And the same thing is with guys that get penalties. Guys that get a lot of penalties, they get a lot of penalties. Like, there's – it's not like guys that get a lot of penalties, all of a sudden they just flip a switch and they don't get penalties anymore. I mean, that's kind of who they are. And if he hasn't been able to fix it or correct it by now, I don't know why anybody would have any confidence that he will anytime soon. It's not like, look, I did the Dolphins game last week against the Raiders. You know, that's not like playing in, you know, in one of these crazy loud – it's not like playing at Arrowhead or playing in the Superdome. I mean, it's not – let's put it this way. It's not a noise issue for Vidarian. Let's put that – that's for sure.
We're talking to Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. He's brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Ross, is all of this hurting the development of Drake May?
It's not helping. Yeah, I mean, it's not helping. I thought that interception he threw was horrific, right? And then, you know, obviously they don't block chop. He fumbles it. That's not what we want to see. We don't want to be seeing him – in no way, shape, or form do we want to feel like he's going the wrong way. Now, I thought he did a great job identifying – I can't remember who was – Hooper, I guess, was wide open. Yes. I thought he did a great job of staying alive, you know, and then having – not only staying alive, but having the vision to throw it down there. That's when I say that Drake reminds me of Josh Allen a little bit. It's the plays like that where he buys the time and still has enough arm to chuck it down there and make a huge play. What we want with every passing week is to have more of the big plays and maybe more importantly, less of the negative plays. I felt like there were more negative plays in this one than we want to see from Drake.
Okay, so forget the culture questions and the false starts. A man who travels the entirety of the NFL and tests all the press box food, What does that man have on his dinner table this Thursday for Thanksgiving? What are the preferences? Give me the menu.
Well, so I'm glad you brought this up. So number one, the Patriots are a top five press box food team in the NFL.
Okay. Really?
You know, the clam chowder. Oh, yeah. The clam
Andy Hart cannot believe you just said that.
Wow.
Well, definitely top 10.
Okay.
Maybe top five. I like the clam chowder quite a bit.
Very good.
And I love, like, the peanut butter chocolate chip cookies. They're as big as my head.
Awesome.
I love those bad boys. I have multiple of them. Last game I did there, they had they also had ice cream. So, they had, like, some type of, like, apple crisp, and then they had vanilla ice cream that you could just scoop up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. The only way to go. So, however, I did the Texans-Titans on Sunday. Texans might be number one in the league.
Ooh.
I mean, the Texans is just outrageous. You could get your own Cornish game hen. I mean, that's my favorite type of game hen, evidently. Like, they had birria, meat. I don't even know that's how you say it. They had make-your-own breakfast tacos with bacon, egg, and cheese, sausage, egg, and cheese, casserole. I mean, it was legit. So the Patriots kind of got knocked down a rung. Unfortunately, Christian, I can't remember the last time I was home for Thanksgiving. So I am doing Stanford San Jose State on Friday for CBS. It's on big CBS. So I will be eating whatever they serve in the Bay Area in San Jose for Thanksgiving, probably like microchips or something. I have no idea. Hopefully they'll have something decent. It's so funny, too, because growing up in the Northeast, I have a tough time. I struggle with holidays in, like, other areas,
yeah.
Or certainly holidays in, like, warm weather climates. Like, do they still have Christmas in Miami? Like, they really? They have Christmas at, like, 80 degrees?
Yeah, you've seen that Corona commercial, right, where the lights are all up in the palm tree? That's, I think that's Mexico, but still, yeah, they do it in Miami, too.
So, anyway, here's what I would tell you. I am a big fan of turkey. I prefer dark meat over the light meat. Here's the thing. Where I'm from, there's two delicacies that I will have. My mom will make extra and save me some. My wife will make extra from her grandmother's recipe and save me some. One, it's called sausage filling, and my grandma learned it in Germany when my pop-up was stationed over there after World War II, and it's the worst-looking thing you've ever seen. It's gray. It looks like a baby's diaper. It's terrible, but it tastes unbelievable. And then where my wife is from, it's very it's called Pennsylvania Dutch. It's 100% Pennsylvania German. Mm-hmm. So it's called potato filling. Okay, so what it is a lot of people might not be familiar. It's basically like if you took stuffing and mashed potatoes and combined them. That is what the potato filling is like, and it is very, very good. Now, I don't think it's quite as good as everyone from where my wife's from, where they act like it's better than a filet.
As all
like,
the Amish people think, yeah, right.
That's exactly right. Pennsylvania Dutch, Amish. It's very, very good, though, because stuffing leaves a little, stuffing needs a little bit more. So you mix in, like, the mashed potatoes, and it's very, very good.
All right. That sounds delicious. Both of those sound very good. And my grandmother used to make it sausage stuffing, too, so I know how good that is. Ross Tucker, thanks so much for the time. Very happy Thanksgiving to you, sir, out in the Bay Area. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. What do you guys eat for Thanksgiving? Chowder? Get yourself some chowder?
Oh, yeah. Big vat chowder of chowder.
Traditional
chowder,
turkey
chowder
stuffing.
Lobster rolls for Thanksgiving? Rolls?
Come on. Thanksgiving with the pilgrims. We had the first one here.
This.
We started it here, yeah.
I've been there. What's that town again?
Plymouth. I was just down there last weekend. Oh, yeah.
It's a big rock.
Well, it's not that big.
Not that big. It's pretty little rock.
Yeah, no, I don't know that I would have. I don't know that I would have to tell people you got to put that on their schedule.
All right. Have a good one, Ross. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks so much.
See you, Ross.
to you, boys. Likewise.
All right. That is Ross Tucker, Odyssey Sports, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellmann's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. If you missed any of that, you can go back and listen to the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to WEEI Afternoons. When we return, the Red Sox have made an offer to Juan Soto.
Yeah!
Wow! We'll get to that next.
I am an elite analyst.
This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI. On WEEI.
This wasn't an easy decision, but after meeting with a team, it became clear what I wanted to be. That being said, Team Celtics. What? You were expecting a different announcement?
We don't get fooled again.
Juan Soto, trolling everybody. Pretty good, I thought, actually. You know, like in terms of where am I going to go troll jobs, I thought that was pretty well done.
It's fine. It's better than the Brady one when he was screwing us over.
That was a commercial for Celsius, which I believe is a seltzer company. Is it like a boozy seltzer, do we know back there?
I think
it's
an energy seltzer.
It's an energy
drink, yeah. Okay. It's supposed to be the healthier option, even though it just explodes your heart, like the rest of them.
Got it.
Yeah.
So no booze.
Not originally, I mean, but
not,
what you creative is
not
up
bottled
to you.
With
if you
it,
pour
right.
it together with right. something, it has booze.
Well,
right.
Sure, if you pour anything together
like
with
anything
booze.
Like anything with Red Bull. What do they do? Vodka and Red Bull.
Right, but this isn't, you know, it's not like a Truly or a High Noon or something
no.
like that. Seems like they're, right, like you don't see athletes advertising that stuff very often. Either way, that is the Juan Soto, the new Celsius spokesman. The news with him is not anything that I'm doing backflips over. However, I'm feeling a little bit better than I did yesterday when I found out that the Red Sox made the last offer out of the four teams, or the five teams, or the fifth, that have made offers. Between the Yankees, the Mets, the Blue Jays, no, it is four, and the Red Sox. The Red Sox had the fourth offer. So, a couple of things. Number one, it seemed like they had the first meeting. When they had their meeting, no one else had reported on another meeting with the Yankees or the Mets or the Blue Jays yet. So it seemed like their meeting was first. And now their offer is coming in last. Which tells me two things. Number one, everyone who said that, that first meeting wasn't, they're not supposed to talk about money in that first meeting. BS. I called BS then, I still call it now. All those other teams had meetings and they talked about money. The Red Sox didn't. But they made the last offer, which could mean one of two things. They know what the other teams are offering and they're beating it.
Yeah.
Which
I like where you're at, Arcand. Welcome aboard.
I'm not going to deny what I'm hearing and seeing. If they made the last offer, I would think that they at least had an idea of what the market is, right? You have to sort of know like what you're working with here. And if you make an offer that's less than an offer that they got earlier in the week, then it's going to be very easy for Juan Soto to say, no, guys, like that's not, you're way behind how you should be making this offer right now. So that makes me feel a little bit better about this.
I still
think the Red Sox are going to miss out on Juan Soto because I'm sure there'll be another round of bidding. It's like buying a house, right? You know, you put in your offer. Okay, well, can you come up at all? Because we have some other people who are interested and they're willing to go here. Are you willing to do this? Like, that's the way it is. So
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit worried that a lot of the times the big name college recruits do this where they have like a bunch of hats and then they narrow it down to like their final three.
Right.
I feel like there's a chance the Red Sox don't make it to the next round.
Well, they should be. If he's looking for a winner and he's looking for a team with a good farm system, you got at least a leg up on the Blue Jays, right? I mean, wouldn't you say? Like, if that's important to him, now the Blue Jays could offer the most money and completely end all the speculation. But if
along
those other
lines,
things matter at all and they're all similar offers, the Red Sox certainly have a leg up on Toronto.
So all we ever hear about around here, and I'm not smart enough to truly understand it, but the stupid tax thing, right?
Right.
The are there no tax issues or whatever with Canada? Like, going to Canada feels
like
it
Canada,
adds a
you
layer.
Get very taxed in Canada.
But that's my point. How come no one ever says, oh, the Blue Jays are going to get screwed. They can't possibly, you know what I mean?
Mm. Like, I don't know.
Are they going to have to offer $100 million more to make it work tax-wise? Like, I thought Canada had high taxes because I thought they had, like, national health care, national
Yeah, they do. That's why I think they have more, they're tax. But also, I mean, it's Toronto, which is in Canada, New York, which also has a millionaire's tax. Both the Yankees and the Mets have the same tax as you do. And it's more expensive to live in New York than it is in Massachusetts.
Plus there's a conversion, and you have to move a different country, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I just feel like they should...
I haven't heard a lot of talk about that in these negotiations, by the way. I haven't heard a lot of people talking about the millionaires
tax.
Just
a couple texts. People still like to bring that up on the text line. That annoys me. But I welcome aboard, by the way. Welcome aboard to the good ship optimism, at least a little bit.
I got one step on the, on the plank or whatever. Like, yeah, I'm
no, it's, no, you're not walking the plank. You're on the gangway. You're coming on. Walking the plank.
I'm not walking the plank. I will eventually walk the plank when they miss out on him, and I'll jump right back off the bandwagon. But right now, hearing that they did make the most recent offer and that all these other teams have already made an offer, maybe I'm being naive, and I probably am, but that makes me feel a little bit better about this. And I really want them to get Juan Soto. That's the other thing. I know that I've staked my whole reputation here on the idea that they're not going to, but I want them to. You know, I want the Red Sox to have a guy like this on the team. I want to sell some tickets, and I want there to be some excitement and buzz about the team going into this season. Soto brings that immediately just by putting on the hat.
The thing I love is because I haven't really put all my hope and expectation in Soto. My hope and expectation is that they're going to be aggressive and they're going to do a lot. And that is my biggest optimistic or maybe naive take right now is they continue to be involved in everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. Every trade is considered legitimate. Oh, they could get Crochet with this package. I read Jim Bowden on The Athletic. And it's like a package that doesn't include any of the prospects other than Casas. It includes Casas. But, you know, all these other starting pitchers, they're in on. All these right-handed bats, they're in on. I'm going to just be honest. If they do nothing, if they don't get any of these top free agents, if I'm not right about multiple $150 million acquisitions, I will never believe them again. It does, they could go 10 straight years signing the best free agent every year, and I won't believe it. Because this year, to me, is the ultimate moving of the football. Lucy just, because they're in on everyone. And isn't there, doesn't there have to be some crossover in all the agencies with all these guys like, Soto has to know whether any of that other crap is real. Like, agents talk, the business world knows. Like, I just feel like they would call BS, too, if all of this was BS. And he seems to care about that. He seems to want to know kind of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Are you unloading all the prospects to get major leaguers? Are you mixing it? Are you signing it? Who am I going to be surrounded by other than Poppy, my godfather, my advisor, my whatever? And it doesn't feel like he has been sort of pushed away. Like, that it's legitimate, that he's kind of in that world, too. That has me excited. That has me excited that there are guys that you're going to be like, should I get my son that jersey? Or should I get him that jersey? Well, I'll wait till May and see who's playing better in their first season in Boston, and then I'll pick a jersey.
Yeah.
And that's the ultimate test.
Last year, it was the Lucas Giolito jerseys flying off
the
shelf.
Yeah, no, you'll never buy those.
Over at the pro shop.
And if you bought a Casas one, you're disappointed because he's hurt. I feel like this.
Or maybe getting traded.
This is the jersey buying year for a parent or a young adult. Not adults, because you shouldn't be buying jerseys for yourselves. That's a different thing. But anyway.
Think they'll get it done before Christmas so you can, you know, get that going?
Absolutely.
Well, if they get it done at all.
Absolutely.
That's the question. 617-779-7937. Do you feel any better about the Red Sox knowing that they made their offer last out of the four teams that are in on Juan Soto? I got to tell you, feel a little better about it. 617-779-7937. There was some hockey news last night. Not the Bruins. They play tonight against Vancouver. But Jim Montgomery's new team, earning their first win in the Jim Montgomery era, the St. Louis Blues thumping the New York Rangers. We'll get to that, and we'll look back at what was a odd weekend with the Bruins, with Jim Montgomery. Did he force his way out of town? Did he have this deal already in place? A lot of conspiracies flying around. We'll tackle them next.